Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do pray about that today. Give us utterance. Give us direction. Give everybody eyes that can see and ears that can hear and hearts that can discern and understand and receive. Give us answers that we might come up out of darkness into light and liberty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have been on a series now for a number of weeks in Faith School that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like always, faith comes by hearing. Faith in God for a particular thing or area comes from hearing what He said about that area. And if you hear enough and commune with Him, enough in His Word and His Spirit about what He said, you can get convinced to know what His will is. And at that point, you can have faith. And you can have faith for that area of your life. So we've been giving one after another 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. It's an inclusive statement. Always, all of us, His will. A lot of folks don't believe that. But if you don't believe that, or if you're still questioning it, you can't have faith in God for provision. You might say, well, I disagree with you. I think I can. No. Like we talked about at the beginning of the week in James, if you're asking for faith, or wisdom, I should say, or like he said, anything, he said, you got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because if you waver, you're unstable. He said, don't think you'll receive anything. So before we ask, we've got to get it settled. Is this something we should be asking for? Is this something that is God's will? And if people say, well, you can't know God's will, that's a lie. The Scripture tells us to understand what the will of the Lord is, tells us to be renewed in our minds so that we are able to prove what the will of the Lord is. Yes. Thank God there's a book.
Amen.
Of many books. There's the Word. There's the Holy Spirit. You can come out of confusion and into stability where you know that you know. Yeah, it's the will of God. I'm not even open to the idea that it might be God's will for some people to go to hell.
That's right.
That I wouldn't even entertain a thought of that. Well, will everybody be saved? No, I know He said they wouldn't be. Why? Not His fault. If it was up to God, the price has already been paid. He's not willing that any should perish. But it's not all up to Him. He's left it up to us. So the same thing is true. If that's true about the most important thing in life and existence, it'd be true about lesser things. And so whether it's healing, whether it's provision, whether it's being led by the Spirit, whether it's protection, things with your family, your marriage, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The way to have victory, the way to get free and stay free, the way to see God's will done in your life, faith. Live by faith. Walk by faith. Receive by faith. Resist the enemy by faith. Overcome by faith. Please God by faith. Every day and night. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. I live by faith. Go with me to 1 John, the 3rd chapter again. We're down to reason number 24 in our study of why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And number 24, we're calling Why Jesus Came. And it's based on this verse right here. 1 John and 3. It said, verse 8, he that commits sin committeth is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Said out loud, for this purpose.
For this purpose.
The Son of God was manifested.
The Son of God was manifested.
That he might destroy.
He might destroy.
The works of the devil.
The works of the devil.
Well, in order to understand this, you got to know what the works of the devil are. Mm-hmm. To know what we've been delivered from. What we've been redeemed from. What are the works of the devil? Go ahead and pray that prayer. Say it out loud. Father God.
Father God.
Teach me.
Teach me.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
My heart.
My heart.
My mind.
To understand.
What the works of the devil are.
What the works of the devil are.
And why Jesus came. Amen. Well, when it says that he might destroy the works of the devil, like we've studied previously this week, other translations say that he might undo or loosen or dissolve or destroy or undo the works of the devil. We went to John 10 and saw that he said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come, total contrast, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus did not come to give us stealing, huh?
No.
Or murder,
no.
Or killing, or destruction.
No.
These are not the works of God, and they're not why he came. They're the works of the thief. They're the works of the evil one. And we saw in that 10th chapter of John, much of it, he's talking about Jesus himself, talking about him being the shepherd, the good shepherd, and how that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why? Why does he need to lay down his life for the sheep? To undo,
yes.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
The works, why? Because humanity was brought into bondage because of their sin and the work of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Adam and Eve bowing their knee to God's enemy, the devil, the thief. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls the devil the god, little g, of this world. And all of the stealing and killing and destroying and deception and darkness and evil, none of that is the work of God. None of that pleases God. That's all the work of the devil.
Yes.
And the Father could have left us. We're the ones that brought it on ourselves. We're the ones, human beings, the ones that didn't listen. And listened to the wrong one, listened to the enemy. But thank God he didn't. He saw value in us and he redeemed us.
Amen.
And he sent Jesus to undo
Amen.
Everything that the devil was able to accomplish in human beings. In that third chapter, keep reading. Verse 10, that was verse 8, 1 John 3:8 that we read. Verse 10 says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. And through beginning back in the second chapter, he keeps bringing this thought up. The ungodly do ungodly things. And somebody that's just continually living and doing wrong things, they're not getting that from God. They're not fellowshipping with God. That shows they don't know him. But those that are doing good and right things, where did they get that? They got that from a good and right God.
Amen.
And so then he shows how this always been this way, even from the beginning of humanity in the book of Genesis. This is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, why did Jesus come? To undo and destroy the works of the devil. And here, Cain's motivation, we're told his motivation. What would motivate him to kill his brother? They're just a handful of human beings on the planet at this time. Why? What did his brother do to him to justify him murdering him, striking him down in the prime of his life? He did something good. His brother did a good thing. He honored God with his gift, with his sacrifice. Had nothing to do with his brother. He didn't have him in mind. He was doing this to God and unto God. But the contrast of his good work showed up Cain, that Cain's work was not good. It was evil. And, you know, if you read the account back in Genesis, we're not given a lot of detail. It just said God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. He didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. But looking at this, you'll see there was more to it. That Cain's works were not just negligent. They were evil. What he did or didn't do was with evil intent. And I don't know, but he disrespected God, and there were problems. How many think if God didn't accept it, there was good reason why?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes. He was not playing favorites. And he certainly wasn't being unfair. God is perfectly just in everything that he ever does. And so it says that Cain, why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. See, this is still referring back to verse 8, the works of the devil. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Why? Same reason. Jesus said that the world hated him because he testified of it that its works were evil. And they hated him for it. And it's still true today. If you won't agree with people that their sin is okay, they will hate you. What they don't realize, it's not just you they're hating. They're hating God. They're hating right. They're hating good. But that can lead to lying, to stealing, to attacking, to murder, to destruction, all the way back with Cain and Abel. He said, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know, this is how we know we're different. We have passed from death to life because we don't hate people. Huh? You know, I've said it before to our churches sometimes, you know, people have gotten really intense about their politics, you know, and some other things too, but you hear some people that they think it's their righteous indignation, but they hate people. And these are church-going people, and you can hear the hate in their voice. And they want to see people die, and they want to see, that's not God.
No.
And so I tell our folks, if it's hate, we don't participate. Right?
Yes.
There's a line, you know. We don't have to agree that something's right when it's not right, but we don't hate. We have passed from death unto life. And we know that has happened because we've been changed on the inside. Hallelujah. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Is this true?
Yes.
And this is why Jesus came, was to get us out of all of that other stuff, out of that stealing and thievery and hating and murder. Now notice the very next verse here. Very next verse. He that loves not his brother is still in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And hereby perceive we the love of God is added by the translators, but this is how you can see and discern this love that he's talking about, because he laid down his life for us to what? Undo the works of the devil. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren to what? Help get them out, right?
Amen.
Of the works of darkness that would involve stealing and killing and destroying. And what's the very next verse? Look at verse 17. Whoso has this world's goods, sees his brother having need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? He immediately starts talking about stuff. Is that right?
Yes.
Provision. Yes. Things. Food. Be it food, clothing, shelter, which involves money.
Yes.
Is this all in the same passage of Jesus undoing the works of the devil?
Yes.
Now, if these people are in lack and don't have what they need because of God's mysterious plan working in their life, we should not help them. Are y'all awake or not? If they are in lack because it's the work of God, I don't need to be fighting against the work of God. I don't need to be hindering the work of God. People will say, yeah, but I think God put this sickness on me to teach me something. Then I should not pray for you to be healed. Can you see this?
Yes.
People say, you can't have it both ways.
Right.
It's either the will of God or it's not the will of God.
Yes.
Should we oppose the will of God? Should we try to get people out of the will of God? If you believe that God has ordained that some people be born in abject poverty and they're living in squalor and they're dying because of lack of something good to eat or even decent water to drink, if we really believe that God ordained that they be born into that and that some people live like that, we should not send help to them. Huh? We either should help them or we shouldn't. It's either a work of God or it's a work of the devil. Come on, can you see this? And here he is saying we should help. Almost everybody believes you should help. Right? But then they turn around and say, yeah, but you know, the poverty, the lack, the deficiency, it could be God's mysterious, the disease could be God's will. No, it can't be. You can't have it both ways. Nope. Somebody say nope.
Nope.
Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother having need, what should he do? Should help. Why? Because this lack is not a work of God. Come on, can you see this? This need, this deficiency, this going hungry is not of God. No, we don't have to pray about this. Children going hungry is not the work of God. It's not the will of God. People dying from diseases because of living in filthy conditions because they got no better place to live. That's no plan of God. That is no work of God. That is no will of God. No way, no how, no one ever. It's a work of the devil. I said it's a work of the devil. Disease is a work of the devil. Lack, poverty is a work of the devil. And Jesus came to undo it. Undo it. And the Bible said, we talked about this some weeks back, that Jesus became a curse for us that he might redeem us from the curse.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And lack and sickness and being stolen from and destroyed has always been curse, never a blessing. And none of this blessing in disguise. You can't dress up a curse to where it becomes a blessing. And why would God want to disguise it? Is he trying to trick us? Y'all gonna help me with this or not? He's not trying to trick us. No, a curse is a curse.
That's
all it'll ever be, is a curse. And a blessing is a blessing.
Amen.
It'll never be a curse.
Yes.
Good is good.
Yes.
It's not bad.
No.
Evil is evil.
Yes.
It's not good.
Exactly right.
No, it's right to help people.
Amen.
Why? Because the lack is a work of the evil one, a work of the devil. If you believe it, say, I believe it.
I believe it.
I'll accept your testimony. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. We saw in talking about, go to Matthew 16 if you would for just a bit. Matthew 16, Jesus came to undo, or to, that word is frequently translated loosen. Loosen. The devil is, his works are always trying to put you into bondage. Always trying to lock you down, restrict you, take from you, blind you, confuse you, rob you, steal from you, destroy you, kill you. Now, I know I keep saying it, but there's a reason I keep saying it. Most of the church-going world doesn't even believe what I'm saying. And it's not, I didn't come up with this. I'm quoting Scripture. There's a devil. They're stealing, killing, and destroying. It's not God. It's not God's plan. Don't yield to it. Don't act helpless. And don't say, if it happened, it must be God's will. No, it's a work of the devil. It's why Jesus came to undo all that. In Matthew 16, notice this. Matthew 16 and 18. Jesus said, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, which involve the works of the devil, shall not prevail against it. I mean, ultimately, the devil's going to accomplish nothing. He's not winning. There ain't a chance. He thinks there is, but there's not. Verse 19. Are you with me, class? This is so important. And, somebody say and. And he said, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What's the keys? The keys. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose. This is the same idea. That Jesus came for this purpose. He was manifested that he might loose. Same word. Loose, dissolve, it'll be loosed on earth. He says it again. Whatever you shall loose, that's that word, on earth shall be loosed. It says it again. And we saw in Luke 13 where Jesus told that woman that had that spirit of infirmity, bent over, couldn't straighten up for 18 years. He said, come here, come here. And she came there and he said, you are loosed from your infirmity. He's telling us to do what he did. He's telling us to do it. In John, he said, if you believe on me, the works I do, you'll do also. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. And he said, if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We can and should do the same kind of things that he did in his name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'm not Jesus. Yeah, but if you're his, you have his name. And a right to use his name, which means you are authorized. Authorized to what? To loose. To loose. To bind up that which needs to be shut down and bind up. And to loose what the enemy has bound up. In Matthew 18:18, he said it again. Matthew 18:18, he said it again. He said, verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. People will try to reverse it. They say, well, no, it's whatever he has loosed. No, he said it the way he wanted to say it.
Yeah.
The work has been done, and now it's up to us.
Yes.
And when we will act on what he has told us and given us, heaven backs us up.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The name will be confirmed.
Yes.
and the binding or loosing will be confirmed. And the Holy Spirit will be there to back it up. And holy angels will be there to back it up. And this includes, if he told you to help people in need, how am I going to do that? You need to loose some finances to come your way. You need to bind up anything that's been stealing from you or robbing from you. Shut it down. Bind up the thief. Loose the angels and the ministering spirits. Loose the provision. Loose the abundance to come to you. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. I bind up the lack. In Jesus' name. I loosen abundance. Come to me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot more to talk about this, but it's why Jesus came, and it's what he told us to do, and that's how we're going to live. Well, time's up. Come back next time. We're going to get more into this. We'll see you soon in Faith School. Aren't you glad and excited that Jesus came to undo all the works of the evil one? We were studying in a few weeks back about God being the God of restoration. I like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. And the proverb says, if the thief is found, he has to restore manyfold, sevenfold. And so if you realize it's not God who's been hurting my business, my family, withholding things from me and my children, it's the thief. And now that you found out, put a stop to it. Let me lead you in this. Say it out loud. Satan, I bind you. I command you to stop in your operations and maneuvers against me. In Jesus' name. Stop in your maneuvers against my finances, against my family. Stop it in Jesus' name. Ministering spirits, holy angels, go and influence and cause abundance to come in to me and mine. I call every bill paid. I call every need met. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it. Hallelujah. That's that binding and loosing and exercising authority that we're talking about, and it works. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.